That's a new song for those of you that don't know. It's called Party Enema by NOFX. Very relevant to this week.
Topical.
Very topical because we're going to address it's sweeping the nation, and it's called butt chugging. It's a very special episode of the broadcast,
if you'll allow me.
It's called butt chugging. All your children are going to die from it. Report at 10.
So kids have been putting what into their wear?
So you're telling me
that you
they're putting alcohol in their butts? That's exactly what I'm telling you.
Wait!
It may sound gross, but your kids are doing it.
In their
Everyone's getting drunk off it.
We're going to have Matt Ufford on. We're going to talk about the movie Looper, maybe The Master. We got some emails from everyone. So thanks for that. We'll read some questions about that. And then, yeah, we'll talk all about the butt-chugging fiasco at whatever, University of Tennessee.
More of a phenomenon, really.
Yeah, it's sweeping the nation and everyone's butt. Of course, this is your Ear Rapist, Ben. Super blogger Vince in the house.
That's me over here.
Yes, future NFL Hall of Famer Brendan's in the house.
Chug some butts.
Chugging butts. And Squirrel Master Brett.
Shut up.
Oh. And our friend TJ is just going to giggle in the background.
So, I feel what's up, TJ?
We need to have at least one peanut gallery member. I mean, we had Joe's girlfriend a few weeks back where just, yeah. you hear like a disembodied laugh every now and then.
Your dog was here last week
yeah,
or a couple weeks ago jumping around.
Laser eyes.
Yeah, laser eyesing everybody. Also, just wanted to thank everyone for all of your support for the Chicago live broadcast brought to you by Tall Tale Productions. You can still get there's still plenty of tickets available, T-shirts, all sorts of stuff. So thanks, everyone. We are going to add a video as well, so a video level where there'll be an edited video at the end that we can then use for promotional stuff and maybe go somewhere else.
Yeah, like, I mean, if we're trying to get a job as like a stockbroker, we could just send them that video of us broadcasting.
That would work. Yeah. I was thinking more like a live broadcast at a different location.
Okay, well,
like,
that too.
Like at Wall Street?
Yeah, like on Wall Street.
Okay.
Like Wall Street 2, Money Never Sleeps.
Exactly like that.
Yeah, really similar.
A really nice montage of dollar bills falling and charts going up.
An infographic.
That's what someone should make, just like a big, you know, dollars falling, and then maybe like a nice montage of you put on your clothes.
You could just steal one from CNBC.
That's true.
And then we go on
like Market Watch.
And then we go on a big motorcycle ride with Josh Brolin.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
I'd do that.
Yeah.
Jim Cramer.
I wish his motorcycle had training wheels like in the Goonies. That would have been better.
What? Or if he got stuck with the exercise machine.
Yeah.
Wrapped around the chair.
Right. Yeah. The handle with the springs. That's
how you get buff, bro.
What an antiquated exercise piece of apparatus.
Oh, you mean the thing that you pull apart?
Yeah. It's like two handles with springs in between them.
I like the thing that shakes your waist. The waist
chair. Do you think in like 30 years the handle with springs between them is going to be like the iron barbell?
No.
Like the bald guys with the handlebar mustaches.
It's everything
lift?
At Pilates.
Right. Wait,
none of that is a real thing.
It's true. Do you think there's going to be like hipster workouts where they can use that? Because that would be like the hipsterest thing ever. I'm actually getting to working out and then using
or the unitard striped unitard with the barbell with the two spheres at the end.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's like the old timey, and then the new old timey is using that apparatus, and so you've got like a skinny hipster using it. Like I'm actually kind of getting into working.
One of those
out.
Things that I could totally see that guy Adam from Girls, like you know, when he's doing like curls in his house and just doing the weird leg lift things. You'd definitely be using the spring.
Definitely.
What are you doing? I'm just getting in shape.
Just getting jacked.
Yeah. No big deal.
I want to hear about this this butt chugging phenomenon.
Wait, did you guys watch the debate?
I want to hear about butt chugging too.
I didn't.
Did they talk about the scourge of butt chugging?
They should have.
That so been, I want
no, to listen. I want to make this clear that part of my platform is eliminating butt chugging.
Making it completely illegal across the board.
Counterpoint, I'm going to make it mandatory. Vote Brett 2012.
I'm going to have to start a voucher program. You know, if you don't want to go through the insurance companies for your butt chugging, you can take it to private enterprise.
Look, I love mouth drinking, all right? I'm the first one to line up in the mouth drinking lines, but I'm going to defund it. and I'm going to take all of that money and put it into butt drinking.
I guess I should do my Romney impersonation just to be balanced and partisan on the broadcast.
Was that first one Obama?
Yeah, that was Obama.
Oh, I mean, I knew that because it was spot on.
It's horrible. Don't worry.
I thought Obama was in the room with us.
All right, well, I'll make it up to you with my Romney.
All right, go. So, Governor Romney, you know, this butt-chugging phenomenon, you've been a little bit of a flip-flopper on it. And when what's, you know, how do you really
can we do an impression that's not solely visual this time?
You're just squinting.
I'm waiting for you to finish the question.
With a half smile.
You know, where are you going to stand? If you're elected, what are you going to do with butt chugging?
Butt chug is for Mexicans.
That's it, Governor Romney?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a really aggressive face, Governor.
I will say the face impression is spot on, but just hearing it through sound, I don't know. It kind of sounds
might
not
be spot on.
It kind of sounds like Norm MacDonald's Burt Reynolds when you just hear the sound version. Like, yeah, that's for Mexicans.
When they'd cut away from him,
I picture maybe more of a hearty laugh, like butt chug is for Mexicans.
That's pretty good.
when Obama would be talking, the face that he would make. Looked like it pained him to smile. Like it wasn't that he just somebody told him to be like polite and he couldn't fucking bring himself
now,
to do
it. I think they both have very practiced disdainful and like semi amused, like, oh, what is this idiot saying? Like they both have very practiced faces that they make while the other person is talking, where they just look at them pityingly.
If they squeaked out a side fart, either one of them, I would vote for them for the next 8 years.
Oh, what, forever.
What if they
I would vote for a new amendment that
right, just make
let
pain.
Us keep them in office.
Can we go back to
especially if they took the mic off the
podium. Roosevelt rule.
rule by divine decree. this is obviously God's
Supreme
choice.
Dictator. Supreme dictator by decree of fart.
It'd be separated, you know, these terms. He could be like the Grover Cleveland of side farting.
Non-consecutive terms.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going for.
I was with you, Vince.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah, we fist pump. I miss your impressions that don't involve sucking other people's dicks.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of a shame. I wish some of your impressions didn't involve making an elaborate face
I've
that
done
nobody
an
can
Obama.
Hear.
I've done an Obama. I think that's actually a commentary. I just made a political commentary right there. I don't know how to impersonate Romney without that stupid shit-eating grin because he's such a non-person otherwise.
Yeah. We were just talking about his kids. You know, are they all named the same letter or is it just – he doesn't do that, do they?
Trap,
Trig, Tad,
Turd.
Megan and Malachi and Mephistopheles and Maladroit and
Methuselah.
Medusa.
Misanthrope.
Those are his kids right there.
Marty Mammogram.
The middle one's Irish.
Mammogram and Margarine.
And Manogram. Margarine.
Manhole.
Mammary.
You can't have mammogram and mammary. How are you going to keep them from getting confused?
You name the middle one.
Mike. One's got tits. Easy.
Microphone Mike Michelson.
There's that.
Unrelated. That guy helped with the debates, though.
Microphone Mike Michelson Romney.
This is the most important day of the year. We don't trust these microphones to just anyone. The president is going to be speaking into this one. You know who we need? We need the best. We need microphone Mike Michelson.
Wait, what is that?
That's you.
That's the sound test.
That's the sound when you come in.
Test.
There's
a
sound effect.
Sibilance.
But sir, sibilance. Microphone Mike Michelson hasn't worked in years.
We don't know where he is.
He retired.
He's still the best we've got.
No,
I told you I'm retired.
He's sleeping.
Microphone Mike Michelson. The world needs you more than ever. I promised after the last time that I was walking away for good.
He's got a room just sleeping on mics. There's mics hanging from the ceiling.
Constant feedback.
He's got headphones on all the time. The big cans.
The training montage would just be plugging the end into stuff. To the mailbox. Trying to get it like knots in a tree.
I don't got it anymore, man.
You do need to get trained. You need to get retrained.
I've been out of the game too long.
I'd watch that behind the microphone.
Yeah.
He could give him the Rambo speech. Be like, you know, you just chiseled away all the pieces and the statue was there all along. That's you, Microphone Mike.
All right, let's get to some butt chugging.
Oh, you want a butt chug?
Yeah. Why are we fucking around?
I'm sorry.
We're talking about butt chugging right now.
Well, so
the star's our favorite character, a southern lawyer with
a bow tie.
The so, greatest stock character of all time.
Do you think they hand those out after you pass the southern bar?
Yeah.
Here you go, sir.
Here's
congratulations.
Here's your bow tie and seal, sucker.
So, much obliged.
So just those of you that haven't seen the clip, to remind you, this is the fraternity at the University of Tennessee, right?
Yeah. Yes.
So some kids got way too drunk when they butt chugged. And this is the press conference where they're all standing with their hands in their own hands, like in front of them.
Yeah.
Where they're doing.
Wait, they're holding hands?
No. The like where you're holding your own.
Holding hands in front of the crotch.
Oh, to protect your butt from jugs.
Yeah, so you don't get randomly butt chugged. And this is the press conference with the. So I am here, sir. The charges are preposterous.
I will say, it's one guy, and he has. I've spent a lot of time on this planet reading crazy DUI reports and shit like that. I have never heard of someone with like a, what was it, a 447?
No, yeah, it was a 0.4 something.
Yeah, it was a 0.4 something blood alcohol who survived. So, he was fucked up. It was like one guy. But yeah, that's
with
definitely the highest
covered
I've
in poop
heard.
And boxes of empty Franzia in his dorm room.
Because I never remember having friends who got picked up by the cops.
I was just bailing at it.
When they were like borderline comatose and they were in the high point twos. So I can't imagine what
I won't say his name, but he was a 0.32 while he was still fully conscious and hadn't even gotten taken in for public intoxication.
A friend of ours?
Yeah.
Oh.
An Irishman that played rugby with us.
Oh.
Yeah. A certain red-haired man who liked to partake in alcohol.
Yeah, but he's like immune to everything.
Exactly. That's what I mean.
Thought Irish people are walking around at 0.2 all the time.
Well, he was a cop had picked him up to try and give him a ride somewhere, and he was trying to tell the cop where he was trying to go. But they were just driving around for a long time and couldn't find the party. And after a while,
do you mind stopping at Jack in the Box? I am hungry.
After a while, the cop's like, look, man, if you can't figure out where you're going, I'm going to have to take you to the drunk tank. And eventually took him to the drunk tank. And apparently he claims he'd been driving around with the cop for like an hour at least.
A couple weeks.
And when he got back to the station, he blew a 0.32 after not drinking for like an hour.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I do declare this is a press conference.
Yeah, the closest we know of is a good point, a good tenth of a point of a BAC.
Two tenths.
Off. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, full tenth.
Do you want to bring Ufford in on this?
Why not?
Okay. Right.
Ufford knows about the butt chugging because the person who brought butt chugging to the forefront, I really believe, is Spencer Hall from SB Nation.
You can't give Spencer credit for everything.
I do, because he's my favorite writer.
He did not.
Just because I like him better than you.
He did not invent butt chugging.
No, he didn't invent it, but he fully, like as soon as that came out, he jumped on it.
He broke
it. All about,
he broke the story.
He put it into every post that had to do with Tennessee football, like somehow like integrated butt chugging.
Bunch of butt chuggers.
Yeah. Which is why he's the best writer. That's
isn't it?
Clear evidence.
Hey, you start incorporating more butt chugging into your writing.
I've been trying.
Maybe I'll reconsider.
It's right. You know, he is better.
Evidence
than me.
1A, Brendan.
Butt chugging.
Howdy.
Hello.
How y'all doing?
We're doing good.
We're so hammered. We've just been butt chugging all night.
Oh, what's up, my butt chuggers?
It looks like that one scene in shit. Oh man,
that movie or that TV show?
Jesus Christ, Brendan!
The movie or the movie or the TV show, or maybe
God damn it.
Maybe it's just a website.
The Brom movie with Leonardo
Inception.
DiCaprio. Inception, where they're all in like the basement with the bags hooked up. We're
just
all
butt
chugging
each other.
Yeah,
it's just into our butts. Yeah. Our legs are spread.
Yeah,
just beer bongs.
Yeah.
Yep. Beer bongs into the butts.
Yeah.
All right, Ufford, we got you on a little early because we haven't played the butt chugging press conference yet. So,
oh my God,
you want to hang tight while we talk about some butt chugging?
Do I ever?
I bet. All right.
I do declare this is a press conference to talk about accused butt chuggers.
Press statement today that he adopts. And I would like to say from the very beginning, at the time when George Bopp, who is right here.
Wait, did that start a minute in?
The man accused of butt chuggery.
Zero,
That you're good. You're good.
Okay, all right.
The man who has...
was the president of Pi Kappa Alpha on this campus. When Mr. Bach went into his hospital room at the University of Tennessee Medical Center, he asked Xander if he had been butt-chugging.
All right, everybody take a drink.
Oh, you, sir, have been accused of butt-chuggery of the highest degree.
Now tell me the truth, sir. Have you been butt-chugging?
I may be but a humble rooster in a bow tie, sir. I don't know nothing about digging in the dirt.
But I have a very serious... There's been a serious accusation made about you, sir.
Vince has been waiting to say doit all fucking day.
It's true.
All day long it's he's been waiting.
It's true. I know a few things based on my short time on this earth. One is that Boo Radley will save all your children. The other is that I don't know nothing about no butt chugging.
Butt chugging is a scourge.
What?
What was that?
Xander's comment was, what in the world is that? I appeared about 30 minutes later, along with the chapter advisor of Alpha, and I informed him that the reason that I was there was to ask him whether or not he had been involved in an activity called butt chugging.
That will never not be funny.
It gets better and better.
I do say, sir, you have been accused of butt chuggery.
A most perfidious accusation if I have ever heard of one.
Objection, Your Honor.
I am here to discuss the horrible.
Will you swear on this sack of sweet potatoes that you've never heard?
Now, Bobby Ray, I'm going to allow this, but you better make your point.
In my day at the University of Tennessee, the only butt chugging went on was to wash the baby out of a lady.
And he looked at me like I'd lost my mind and said, what is that? And ladies and gentlemen, that is the first time that he had ever heard of the two words, butt chugging, which have now become two famous words across the United States
and across the world.
Across the world.
The world we have.
In China, it's butt chugging is sweeping through China. India, the butt chugging epidemic.
Dropping leaflets and
¿Cómo se dice, señor butt chug?
Wing wash all shit, butt chugging. All right.
Bishop, look at this.
Mr. Broughton, it is Broughton, not Z, and they are standing here today with their brother. Through this press release, I want to speak to my fraternity brothers across the world, wherever you may be. On my oath that I took at the time when I was initiated, I swear to each and every one of you
that I will not, and I never will, butt chug.
My dear and true brothers of butt.
Of butt chugging.
To my fellow Pikes, I promise not to butt chug, lest it ruin your reputation worldwide as totally awesome party animals.
I would not ever want a day to come when another fraternity would see you walking across campus and they would say, wow, look at them go, them butt chuggers. Don't hang out with those butt chuggers over there.
But I had never heard the term, sir.
That every allegation of the gross and immoral activity of butt-chugging or alcohol illness never took place at the Pi Kappa Alpha.
Wait, how is it immoral?
We are men of integrity who pledged at the time of our initiation to be true. I pledge to you my word of honor as a brother in Phi Phi Kappa Alpha. I can never thank International Headquarters staff, the Supreme Council of this fraternity for love and support which it has given me.
What are they even talking about?
They have reviewed this case in depth, sir, and they have declared that there was no butt chuggery whatsoever.
Is this lawyer getting initiated right now? What's happening?
No.
It feels as if it was yesterday when my brother's smell hound and jalopy took the pledge to never chug from the butt, which is to say, they shall never take their corn from where they make it.
Brother Doza, back in 1964, hath pledged, we did not haze spinach to death last spring for you fellows to butt chug.
Clearly he was initiated back in his day, and he's reaching out to all his fellow Pikes.
Oh, is this guy an alum?
Yeah,
oh,
he's clearly. Gotta be.
That's, yeah, he's clearly, an alum of Tennessee, and he's God, in that frat.
And he failed the bar like six times. He's just fucking hanging out at the party, just hitting on college chicks.
Hey, guys, this is a dark time for you, but I can totally help. Let's bring the cameras in.
And this chapter. To all our alumni and current active members of chapters across the United States and in Canada,
I say
to you that no such thing ever happened. Do not be led by the irresponsible media who would rather disseminate false information that creates sensation rather than to allow the truth to prevail. And to the news media who have chosen to believe the falsehoods issued by the University of Tennessee, I say to you today, shame on you.
How dare you, America?
I say shame on you for thinking we would butt chug, because we ain't no butt chuggers.
Did you order the butt chug?
As I look out upon this assembly of the media, I say to you, you are the ones who appear to be the ones who chug from the butts.
My client was a simple young man who passed out in his own feces, surrounded by empty bottles of boxed wine. How dare you assume that he butt chugged?
Drink it from the mouth as God intended.
Passed out in a frat house, surrounded by boxes of wine and his own feces. To imply that he was doing something gay is just beyond the pale, sir.
I would love a Few Good Men parody. Did you order the butt chug?
You go back to journalism school and take a good course in ethics.
In butt chugging.
Now, at this time, I would like to turn the microphone over to my client.
Oh, yes. Oh, this is
another
be
client's got the mic.
That was offered.
MC Butt Chug, and I'm here to say...
So this is the guy that is accused
September
of butt chugging?
Yeah, this is the butt chugger.
The alleged butt chugger.
We are now going to hear from the butt chugger. I mean, alleged butt chugger.
The butt chuggy.
Starting drinking. That decision almost cost me my life, and I deeply regret it. However, the scandalous accusations surrounding that event never happened, and I completely deny them. The inaccurate reporting this past week has caused me to question institutions that most of us accept as truthful.
The frat boy's disillusioned. Oh. I used to believe in the news media until I passed out in my own shit.
Do you know how much I believed in all media until I woke up with empty boxes of wine and a beer bong in my ass?
Where are you, Katie Couric? I thought you were my friend.
Yeah. Sticking a beer bong up your cornhole really changes your perspective on the Fourth Estate.
I can't wait to see Newsroom's take on this.
Yeah, you probably shouldn't put a beer bong up your butt. You think?
Did you learn that on the internet?
Nice butt chug, internet girl.
I really watch the local news every night for all my truths. And now I don't believe a word they say.
Organizations we as students and citizens trust may not have our best interests as one of their primary goals.
No, they don't have our best interests.
My intent is to clear my name.
They just decided to pick on one guy and report on and just make up a lie.
Just call him, make up lies about him being a butt chugger.
A fucking beer bong stuck up his ass. Yeah, it's all a lie.
Squeaker's a pussy. Let's ruin his life. Yeah.
What right, we see here is the nefarious influence of Big Butt Chug.
The Butt Chug Lobby.
And to punish those individuals and institutions responsible for the lies that have been spread around the world.
What is he going
to
punish? Xander,
can you clarify what did happen that day?
It's a long story.
All right, fine. You guys want to hear it? All right, it's really not that long. All right, so I ate some really bad Chinese food, and then I got wasted, like really fucking shit hammered drunk.
Then Skeeter was all.
It's a really long story.
Gooch and Dozer came home from the Tri-Delt slave auction, and they were like, yo, finger bang Katie's outside. She wants her board shorts back, bro.
And I was like, dude, I'm so high right now. I just ate some pot brownies.
Are you going to take any legal action?
The answer to that is yes.
Yes.
But hold on.
Who is he going to sue?
Wait, hold on.
Who is he going to sue?
Sorry, I like...
Can I'm going to sue my own ass. Can you explain
this? I'm going to sue Home Depot because they built the butt chuck.
I would like to file a lawsuit against Butt Chucking Incorporation.
I like that. Can you explain what happened? It's a long story. Next question. That's a good way to get out. That's like better than pleading the fifth.
Whoever has violated his HIPAA rights and his constitutional rights, and the list is as long as your arm.
How do you explain
it? He said as long as a beer bong shoved up someone's ass.
He invoked HIPAA and the Constitution.
In one sentence,
what
Brendan?
Fucking amendment?
He's got a case.
I think all of them.
Jesus, I should have gone to Tennessee. I could have been the fucking valedictorian.
A butt chugging.
I say this fellow has all his own teeth.
Could have been on the Supreme Court.
He must be royalty.
All right, we are here to discuss the case of butt chugging versus the state.
From the UT Police Department.
You know, I would love to be able to explain those things to you. The University of Tennessee
story.
Medical Center.
But
and
I never actually graduated. I still go to school here.
I thought this was going to be the one. I read a story where the kid's statement included that butt chugging was against God's law.
Was it? Yeah, the Guardian, the one from the Guardian UK had the whole religious aspect to it where he talked about how he did not butt chug and, in fact, he was offended and he was going to sue people because it implied that he was gay, which is like against God's
butt
law.
Butt chugging's only for gay alcoholics, okay?
Right.
Who would he sue? I'm suing the gays.
Here it is. As a Christian, I would never desecrate my body like that.
Says the dude who woke up in a pile of shit and wine.
Xander P. Broughton, 20, is threatening that to take legal action, claiming that as a Christian, I would never desecrate my body in such a way.
But legal
he also
action
says
who?
He also says media reports have implied that he is gay, which he isn't.
Which he's totally not, bro.
In a statement, Broughton said the use of an alcohol enema was the most gross idea I have ever heard.
That's written down somewhere.
To do so
he
would,
said it was the gross. Most gross idea he's heard.
To do so would be against God's law.
I also do love that they keep...
You hear that, Cap Alpha Theta bitches?
I do love that they keep saying butt chugging as if like that's how they get out of it. We never called it butt chugging, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to say we never heard the term. And no one will think it's real.
Here's the money paragraph. When Broughton was delivered to the hospital after midnight on September 22nd, his blood alcohol level was measured at 0.448%, nearly six times the intoxication that defines...
I mean, seriously, that's you should be dead.
Wait for it. Injuries to his rectum led hospital officials to fear he had been sodomized.
I mean, technically he was.
He just might have been by himself. Well, himself.
Not by a penis, that's all.
Oh, okay.
It was by a beer bong filled with wonderful nectar of the gods.
He also had no recollection of losing control of his bowels and defecating on himself, according to a university police report that includes photos of the mess left behind in the fraternity house.
The Lord works in mysterious ways.
Yeah. Nor did he remember pretty much anything from the entire night.
Yeah, well, how the fuck is he an eyewitness to his total blacked outedness?
Yeah, no, I didn't do any of that. I totally remember all of the pooping.
I always remember shitting, and I don't remember this one, so... I think this is a cruel prank. Is there more of it there, Vince?
Maybe he just...
there's a lot more.
Maybe he just shit so hard he blew his asshole out.
Yeah.
We don't need it all. I like the lawyers.
Hey, listen, everybody. I don't remember...
Oh, no. We got technical issues.
Oh, sorry. We got a delay.
Now
I just want to say that... Oh, hey, sorry, everybody. We don't remember anything, but I totally... Of the night that I don't remember, I definitely didn't have anything in my butt.
That's against God's law, and I don't do that, even if I'm blacked out drunk.
Yeah, I don't remember one thing, but what I do remember is not putting a beer bong into my butthole. I woke up in the hospital, and that's all I know. Next question.
Were your shoes on?
James E. Lang, who coordinates alcohol and drug abuse prevention strategies at San Diego State University,
Brendan,
said alcohol enemas aren't a common occurrence on campuses.
Oh,
though normal consumption still contributes to hundreds of students of deaths annually. And many of those can be attributed to reckless attitudes about the consequences of heavy drinking.
Not, not Vince, not rectum. Not rectum?
Yeah. Yeah. And to Tennessee freshman Cody Privett of Sevierville, there's nothing appealing about the incident on his campus. It's stupid. It's an unfortunate situation, said Privett of Sevierville. I mean, there's partying and then there's other things.
Wait. So they interviewed
there's
some
partying
random dude
and then there's partying.
Wait, so they interviewed some random dude and he didn't think it was a good idea. Who's going to be like, yeah, dude?
Oh, shit. I wish I'd heard about this earlier. I gotta go.
I'm gonna go home, pop a tall boy, and shove it in my butt.
If I was 10 years younger, man, I kind of want to go back to college to try that. That sounds kind of fun.
We should do a butt chug for the live broadcast.
A live butt chug?
A live butt chug.
It's not the first time the Pike chapter has been involved in trouble in the university. In 2008, the chapter was placed on administrative suspension after a hazing incident where pledges were allegedly asked to do push-ups on broken glass. Three students were later hospitalized with staph infections. A member of the fraternity said pledges were asked to perform a, quote, lateral ab movement known as bows and toes on the bathroom floor.
That's pretty gay.
Yeah.
It's like the Cleveland Browns of fraternities.
They were then required to fuck each other, and they said it was not gay at all. Because they're not gay. That is not God's law.
God requires hazing.
No, it's true.
All is fair.
If you want to get into heaven, you are going to get hazed.
It's not God's law, but butt chug is a punishment in street law.
That is true. I sentence you to 3 butt chugs. Is that something like that?
OE Fodies.
Oh! That'll get you fucked up.
Yeah, that's all I got for butt chugging, you guys.
That's it?
Yeah.
Oh. Well,
nope, butt chugging.
I
thoroughly enjoyed that. I think that's one of those rare cases where like the human race, like butt chugging is a funny word enough on its own. but then when you have someone who's trying to act dignified, someone in a suit
and a bow tie,
trying to project a serious serious air onto things, and him repeatedly saying butt chugging just makes it even funnier than it already is.
It's perfect. It's like my two favorite things, which is one, when you get some sort of stuffed shirt white person reading rap lyrics to describe how bad they are, or two, when you get called into like the dean's office at college and they're like reading direct quotes from the police report.
Right. You're not too proud of yourself at that moment.
Yeah. I remember I don't think I called in there once, but then I remember like our very super straight laced dean who was like this
what? He wasn't laid back. Weird.
She's kinda like gym teacherish, like female gym teacherish, and she's reading, and then the officer heard someone yell, "I can't believe we drank that much," and thought students inside might be drinking.
mine was the officer then heard from the bathroom a man hiding on the toilet shouting, "Is it okay to start drinking again?" After opening the door, the accused was found.
Man, you guys went to a school where the dean got involved in shit?
Well, it was like the resident dean.
In. Oh, man. It was like Thunderdome where I went.
Yeah. You guys have a job you guys have a guy whose sole job is to prevent people from butt chugging.
Yeah, seriously.
And then he gets quoted in the news as to like how many fatalities are due to butt chugging. It's like it's not that common of an occurrence.
I mean, trust me. People are dying.
He's like, my horoscope came true.
People are dying every day from normal drinking. But very rarely from butt chugging. But sticking a common sized beer bong into the butt,
I think you use a funnel probably.
No, they say they use tubing.
Tubing?
Yeah.
The smaller tubing.
Yeah, they're going to go. When they say we're going to go tubing, it means they're actually going to go butt chugging.
It's like, we also had the crazy like athletic department dean bypass, which is you just have to talk to the detective instead, where they're like, "Hey, I know you're fucking lying to me."
What? You had a detective?
Well, the whole thing when you're in the athletic department.
Did you go to NCIS?
No, they don't.
guys out of school?
No, they don't. They don't have the dean involved.
You got a terrible football team. Just,
yeah. It's LL Cool J. That guy sucks. Did you watch Any Given Sunday? No, they're just like, hey, we're just going to have you talk to the police instead. And there's just like some detective who's like, you know, Nick Nolte in Point Break. He's like, I know you're lying to me, you little fucking buttwad.
What's the matter, Brendan? You forget your invisible juice?
Yeah.
They just knocked him down past beat cop. They're just like, you know what? You're San Diego State's detective now.
Right.
You fucked up Royal.
Shut up, Brendan. We know you did it.
Matt, any specific Northwestern butt-chugging precedents that you're aware of?
You know, I don't know of any butt-chugging, but I will admit I was indeed in a fraternity at Northwestern. When I was there, it was 40% to 45% Greek because Evanston is, in case you don't know, is the home of the temperance movement in the United States. Wow. The Women's Christian Temperance Union was founded there. There's a dorm named after Frances Willard, who started the Women's Christian Temperance Union. And so, like, it's kind of like it's a bunch of young people who want to drink who are not allowed to drink. And there's no, like, there's no, like, campus bar that's, like, crazy easy to get into if you're underage and you have, like, the shittiest fake ID ever. It's not like that. So if you want to drink, you've got to kind of join a fraternity or sorority. I will say that a couple of years after I graduated, my fraternity was booted off campus for a formal at the Shedd Aquarium, where someone's flask went tumbling into the dolphin tank.
Did it get caught in a blowhole? Tell me it got caught in a blowhole.
Or the dolphins all got wasted.
They were, aside from all the damage that was done to the Shedd Aquarium property, they were upset when the dolphin retrieved the flask from the tank.
Such a good dolphin.
Exactly. And so that led to the demise of my fraternity on campus. But I've got some things of like, it wasn't, I don't think I was ever really hazed. I was like always very, when I went to school, I was very against joining a fraternity, and I couldn't believe that I ended up joining one. And so I was very wary of the whole like prospect of me being hazed and against it. And yet, you know, like I definitely like slept in the hallway outside of a classroom in order to make sure that I didn't miss a class in the morning. But I never.
That's a dedication to academics.
To learning, yeah.
Did I ever wake up in my own feces? No. Did I ever even wake up in my own vomit? Once. But.
La-di-da. Little miss, I only puked on myself once.
I also, the time that I puked on myself was a result of, that was the night that there was like, swimming nude in Lake Michigan and then running away from the cops when they showed up, but not being able to find my clothes. So like walking back to campus in a towel around my waist and like lots of like really, really embarrassing stuff that is like, you look back and you're like, wow, I was so stupid. And I can't believe that I was so dumb as to do that. And that's really embarrassing.
Not
and
me. Yet, I look back and I'm like, God damn, I fucking ruled that school, bro.
And yet when people Google my name, the first result will not be butt chugger who woke up in his own feces.
That's a shame.
Poor Xander, for the rest of his life, when he goes online dating, he
might get Xander P. Broughton.
Yeah, his name's going to show up in Google search because girls are going to meet him and be like, oh, hey, this guy is maybe someone I want to date. And then they're going to Google him and they're going to see butt chugging and his life.
Yeah, the Google search autofill is going to be like Xander P. Broughton, butt jug.
To be fair, though, Xander seems like kind of a douchebag.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. 100,000%.
Yeah.
You don't say.
I don't think a butt chugging accident could happen to a nicer frat bro. Yeah.
Yeah, everything about that makes me glad that I didn't go to University of Tennessee, really.
You know he's a legend now. 4.48, dude.
X-Men. X-Men blew a 0.448. You guys are fucking legend.
Professor X?
The ass like X-Men, bro.
My Professor X, bro. That's my grand thing, bro. Our family tree is huge.
Dude, Professor X, dude, that dude almost had half his blood as booze, bro. Dude, that guy could take a butt chug, man.
If he hadn't shit all of it out, he probably would have gotten to 5. That's fucking Professor X, bro.
Yo, he got a .448 after he shit out most of the booze. It was crazy.
Dude, picture that. He must have been at a .5 at some point. Man, dude, that guy could butt chug. That guy's a butt chugging legend.
Dude, Cheech and Black Steve said they'd never seen anything like it. It was crazy.
Why would you butt chug Franzia?
I don't know. Because it's cheap?
Well, he's got a spigot. He probably wasn't using a bong. He's probably just going Franzia bag after Franzia bag like an addict.
Straight into
like an IV
also,
bag.
Also, you can squeeze the bag, yeah.
Yeah, like, that's what I said, like an IV bag.
Yeah.
Just coming out your nose, just like the rosé just pouring out your nose. Crying tears of rosé.
Oh, God.
It was the rosé. Said it in the police report.
There was rosé everywhere.
That's the way God would have wanted it.
God loves rosé, especially in the butt. Wow.
I don't know how we're going to talk about Looper after that.
Yeah, I'm bored already.
Yeah, there was no butt chugging at any point.
There should have
been a distinct lack of butt chugging in Looper.
There was.
I mean, in 30 years, I would hope we would do more butt chugging, honestly. I thought we'd be a little more civilized at the point where we are accepting.
Yeah.
Of the butt-chugging community?
Exactly.
I will say, Looper as it was gets an A- in my book. If they take the scenes where he's doing, like, eye-dropping the drugs into his eye and replace that with butt-chugging, it's an A+ all the way.
That would be awesome.
Easy fix, too.
If they just eye-dropped into their butt instead of their eye.
So
wait. So are we going to do Looper now?
Sure.
All right.
Well, here's
Shut
the thing
up. Don't cut me off. I'll fight you.
No, I will
I'll
cut
fight
you off.
Yo, Brennan wants to talk. Let's let Brennan talk.
Because I'm going
to
talk about pre-Looper. I'm going to talk about all the fucking trailers, which is like, hey, we're just going to make a horror movie out of found footage. Which is like, there's like a good 3 movies.
Did you guys get 8 trailers?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's also the one thing I noticed is I actually took notes. And I took more notes about the trailers than I did about Looper. And my favorite one was... the guy from the 300 who is like the mentor to the kid who's surfing.
Oh yeah.
And then there's great bully talk in that trailer where the guy goes, "Hey Mavericks man, you gonna surf that wave all by yourself or is your rent-a-dad gonna help you?" Which I thought was really good, especially because the it cuts to the next scene, which is the dad going, "What's going on inside you, Jay?" So I really enjoyed. But yeah, Looper's a good movie.
I always like the bully talk. What was the bully talk on the last one where it was like, from that movie Stoker? Yeah. Hey, Stoker, or is it Stroker? Because right. I heard that's what your mom's doing with your uncle.
I just feel like movies portray bullies in such a wrong light. Because no one would ever... No one
as
would
a former bully.
Why, well, yeah, yeah. As someone who stuffed a lot of people in trash cans, I would never pick on the kid with the dead parents.
I had rules, okay? Yeah.
It's always they always make it so over the top where right. they're like picking on the guy who just got back from like a tour of duty, who's like a Marine, is like, "Hey, soldier boy," and they're
That's
like,
"Con Air, Con Air's the
him
best,"
and like pull his cap down or something.
Yeah, Con Air is like he just saved the world. Like,
That would never fucking happen.
Hey, Army Dick.
Yeah.
Can I just say, on the last flight that I was on, I saw that stupid Zac Efron movie with Nicholas Sparks shit.
The lucky one or
yeah, the lucky one.
Yeah.
And he's this Marine like hero from Iraq who was like in town and like totally getting bullied by the cops because oh yeah. if there's one thing cops hate, it's Marine Corps veterans.
Welcome home, Marine.
You didn't have that experience?
Yeah, man. Like, those cops are such dicks to veterans. Like,
I know. How come movies are always like, well, that was my whole thing that I was laughing about is like, so the bullies are picking on the guy with no parents who's trying to learn how to surf, which Maverick. In any other high school would be the coolest fucking yeah. kid. He's got no parents and he knows how to surf. He's the coolest fucking kid.
He's no to surf
movies
too.
Show the bullies fucking giving wedges to the kids playing Magic the Gathering in the library.
Way to catch like, a 50-foot wave,
that's
pussy.
Real life. Yeah.
I heard you surf Mavericks, dick. Get over here. I need to fucking give you a wedgie.
Look at him shredding that half pipe like a fucking loser.
Look at all those bag. Weights.
You're good at you're really good at something that girls like. You're a total piece of shit.
Yeah.
I bet you're going to butt chug when you get to college.
What are you gonna go to snowboarding college? Bet you would.
Got a full ride.
On a snowboard. Because that's what you do.
There were a lot of trailers. A lot of the
half pipe.
A lot of
half pipe
movies.
For snowboards.
I
bet
do
you
like,
do backflips on.
I do
in
like
the
that.
Snow.
Oh, God.
wearing your snowboard clothes.
I let it go.
I do like I like the trailer.
Hat.
God damn it, Vince.
God damn it.
I like the trailer that was the ancient church believed that he lived in the picture. What? Did you guys get that one?
No, I didn't get that one.
Yeah, it's the one with Ethan Hawke, and there were so many horror movie trailers.
Yeah,
and there was
the
Paranormal
one.
Activity 4, which is yeah. everything's found
like
footage.
They skipped 2 and 3, didn't they?
No, Ben saw
Hey,
three.
I'm really scared,
saw,
but let me.
All of them.
Ben hey, I'm three. Really scared, but let me turn this camera on.
all the lights went out, but my computer's still going great. Yeah. So.
And then there was also the one with Ethan Hawke, where it was like it has the basis in history, right? Where it's like all throughout history, the ancient church believed that this evil demon lived in pictures, and then it's like, hello, who's there?
I think you guys got a different bunch of trailers than I did. But one thing I will say that, like, honestly, like, scared the shit out of me was Mama. The trailer for Mama,
Guillermo del Toro movie.
No,
Guillermo
del Toro just produced it. He's
holy
just,
shit,
like,
that guy!
A bunch
I mean,
of,
like I'm already like there are enough scary parts in Guillermo del Toro movies as it is. When he does like straight up horror, like. I had like nightmares in advance from like just watching the trailer there. I was so disturbed by that shit.
That's another creepy kid movie, isn't it?
Yeah.
I called it Scary Mama's House? got a couple laughs out of the audience.
What, you just like
you
yelled it out?
To the theater?
Yeah.
Hey, it's like Scary Mama's House! Wasn't loud.
It was like, I was in the audience at the time.
I didn't yell it, but I was just like, oh, Scary Mama's House.
I picture you walking all the way down to the front of the theater as another trailer's
everyone,
playing,
everyone,
and then shouting it.
Everyone!
Cupping your hands
scary
around your
mama's
mouth.
Mama's House!
He's everyone! Right. He cups great. His hands around his right. mouth. Scary Mama's House!
They called it Mama.
All right, first person's take on Looper. Go!
No,
I like future
no,
drugs.
Shut up.
Future
shut
drugs.
Up. Shut up.
I like future shut drugs.
Brett's so serious
future
right
drugs.
Now.
Shut up.
All right, go, Brett.
All right. I just want to burn Ben at the stake. I think everyone besides Ben liked it, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Street Court, motherfucker. All right. Prove to me
that the movie sucked?
No, that you have any sort of ability to discern a good movie from a bad movie.
Well, all right. Well, fine. Here's...
I want to look in the eyes of madness right now. Explain to me...
So the first half was pretty good. The second half was fucking terrible, I thought. So the first half was good. So huge flaws that I saw. Number one, don't make it 30 years in the future because nothing is different except they have, like... shitty CGI and some like rocket motorcycles and some drug like they have robotic crop dusters and and eye drugs.
I did like
wait,
future
hold
drugs
on,
because
hold on. Stop right there. Ben, what makes you an expert on 30 years in the future?
All right, well, go 30 years back from today.
It was the 80s.
No. Don't tell me about 30 years back. Tell me what you know about 30 years in the future.
Well, we're going to have more cool shit than eyedropper drugs and Miatas. And I'm just telling you, uncovered Miatas are not going to be that cool. And so they have cool shotguns. They have land speeders with terrible CGI attached to them. And they have robot crop dusters, and that's it. And they have phones that they never use.
You were just disappointed that the future is not living up to your hopes for it.
Well, I would rather have them made it 20.
There's projection going on.
I'd rather make it 2015, where it's pretty similar to today, and then 30 years in the future when they do the time travel. And I just thought the entire movie, the half of the movie on the farm with the super annoying kid, was terrible. I thought it was just awful. And I was ready for it to be over.
Let me tell you what I like. I like future drugs. Future drugs are my jam. And I feel like as a movie-going public, we moved away from future drugs. The last good future drug I remember is Nuke from RoboCop 2 that you injected right in your neck. So I enjoy... 2. Huh?
You saw RoboCop 2?
Yeah.
Is that the one with the guy?
I saw RoboCop 2.
It's the one with like the
one that has Nuke.
It's the one with the kid. He's like 12, but he's like inexplicably a crime syndicate leader.
Does he have his brain in the robot?
No. He's thinking of Tropic Thunder. Anywho, Nuke. I do like future drugs, though.
There's a good future drug in Dread. It's called Slow-Mo. Okay. And it makes shit go in slow-mo.
I need to see Dread.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah. I liked it, though.
Yeah, I thought it was a solid A. I thought there's... There's very little to dislike about that. I thought the makeup was distracting.
It's so distracting. I wish there was a disclaimer that was like, Joseph Gordon-Levitt is going to be wearing makeup in this movie.
I kept trying to take it off of him.
Didn't you see
mind.
All that in the previews?
No, like, I don't see any of that.
They were all
and
jump
so,
cuts.
Because at the beginning.
The previews made it look super fucking boring.
Yeah.
And generic.
Mm-hmm. At the beginning,
here's
I was.
From a strictly aesthetic point of view, like, make Bruce Willis look like Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Like,
yeah, give him a wig or something.
I don't even need that. You do one scene where you explain that they're the same character, and I'm on board. I don't need this fucking novelty concession that they're the same.
I know. Your two options are like, hey, make this like pretty handsome guy look like a turtle, or make this fucking Easter Island statue look like a pretty handsome guy.
Or don't do anything. Just say they're the same guy.
It was just like he just needed like a token effort. So you're like, oh, okay, they're supposed to be the same guy.
They did the jump cut with the creepy hair. That's like, this is going to be like really spoilery.
Well, whatever. You can't talk about it. I did like the 30 there when they went forward 30 years and then it looked like an old Joseph or whatever. Old character with the super deep power alleys.
Yeah.
I like that. But why did he never go to France? He never even went to France.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt is like 31. Like if his hair looks like
he's
that now, he's not going to go butt ass bald. He's not going to go bare bald like Bruce Willis.
Yeah, he started in France and then he went to Shanghai because
he didn't. He went to Shanghai because Jeff, what's his face?
Yeah,
told him
Jeff Daniels was like, trust me, go to Shanghai. He started in France and then he took the advice and he went to Shanghai.
Jeff Daniels is all, shut up, internet boy, you're going to China.
They were doing a really good job with the cutesy references without being too cutesy, right? Like where he is talking about, you know, wear something glowy or something plasticized, you know, do something new.
Yeah.
It's like a little cutesy nod to all the future fashion that you see in movies. It's a direct attack on Ben's opinion of why
he's dressed the way he is, and it's like, hey, it's the future. You should be doing something like, you know, like. The fact that you're dressing like old movies just makes you like old movies, like you know, wear a neon something. Like it was really nice. It's a nice nod. It's a self-aware nod to why it's not being more overtly futuristic. CC Ben on this note,
but without going full Whedon on it, where it's constantly doing the wink at you so hard,
right?
And it's 2012. We're in the 21st century now, and like everybody's like, "Oh, hey, we don't have flying cars. It's not really the future." As we pull out the pocket computer out of our fucking jeans and like talk to people from around the world, via like internet on our computer, like hand computer.
As we dress in the same way that we did in 1987.
Can I just say that the flying cars / hoverboard thing is the same thing as fucking bacon jokes, where you're not funny and you learned how to be funny off the fucking internet. I'm so sick of bacon jokes and the like, is the future, where's my hoverboard? Fuck.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So, I gave the film a solid A minus, but I will say like you said, it was just winky enough to where it's like it's sort of breaking the fourth wall, but it's like it's not quite doing it. It's just like you could interpret it that way where there's, especially the joke in the cafe where he's like, we'd be here all day making diagrams.
It doesn't matter. Like, that I liked a lot.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
You want it? We can't talk about time travel. We're gonna be here for an hour diagramming with straws.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Yeah, that I like.
It doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah. I really like the TK thing where they were like, we thought we were going to get superheroes. Turns out just quarters.
Yeah, levitate quarters.
And you know what? That was a nice way, too, of like it was a cool thing that's like, oh, hey, yeah, future and like human genetics are morphing. But it's also a nice like Chekhov's gun for the third act.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like.
Yeah, you totally forgot about it.
Yeah,
exactly. And it's so subtly done. It's so well executed that I was just like, I was just impressed with the film from start to finish. It has that sort of like Inception quality of like, oh wow, I was going in for, you know, like this director and these actors and I expected a certain amount of quality. But what I got was like, my mind got a really thorough like blowjob, and that, and I left like kind of like, whoa, like I can't even see straight.
The visuals.
And I really appreciate that. And I don't want to oversell this for anybody. I don't want to be like, this is a fucking great movie. And like, I don't want to sell people too high on it because I want them to go in with an open mind and just kind of like, oh, you know, I'll just go in with this to see this movie. And then
to jump on that point, don't worry because I will.
It'll be back. He froze.
This could possibly have. Shut up! Like this is quality science fiction, originally done. Like it's like picking apart details like that. Like,
we're laughing because we like you froze like mid rant, and then we started talking for like 3 seconds, and then you came back like again mid.
When you said shut up.
Yeah. Sorry.
Which sounded like you were talking to me, which would have been perfect.
No, it's totally fine. It's one of those things like, okay, Transformers 3 is about alien robots from a different planet who come to Earth and, oh, it's just really convenient that they happen to transform into, like, Earth vehicles. That's not people's problem with the movie. That's a stupid fucking premise, but, like, you need to go into, like, what we call science, like what we assume to be science fiction with, like, I will accept this premise.
Yeah.
And then you work within that premise and see how the movie succeeds on that premise.
You can make your own rules, but you still have to play by the own rules that
exactly.
You create.
Yeah. And so, like, when people get into, like, well, you know, with time travel, it actually does and blah, blah. No, shut up, man. Like, just, like, accept that this is the premise that the film is working from. And, like, if you don't like the suspension of disbelief, don't go to the fucking movie theater.
Well,
like,
right.
Ever, because you have to pretend that these people are actually people that they aren't. You're like, oh, this is Brad Pitt the whole time. He's not a cop.
Yeah.
Paltrow's head's not in the box.
The CGI was terrible.
All right,
can't
but
even see what's inside the box. That's stupid.
I like the movie a lot, but here's one legitimate critique of it I do have. He kind of does the same thing that Chris Nolan does, where instead of sort of rising action, he sort of just like throws action at you, so you don't really know why it's happening, and you're like, you spend a lot of the movie trying to figure out why something's happening, and then it sort of comes together. All the explanation happens after the fact. It's like shit happens, and you're not quite sure, and then you're trying to figure it out. Like, you spend the whole movie sort of trying to figure out.
I did like the way that first looper where he was trying to climb the fence and his fingers started disappearing, and his nose was
going on. I was like,
that was fucking metal, and then he's trying to like press on the gas and his foot falls off. That was fucking hardcore.
Also, that scene was amazing and I loved it. I will also admit to throwing up double devil horns when Bruce Willis kills those two dudes and he realizes he's in the armory and like grabs all the guns.
Yeah, just starts like, dual wielding. Yeah,
that was a little cathartic for me. That went a little too Medal of Honor, but I mean,
yeah.
Fuck, I almost squealed with joy when the kid exploded that guy.
Yeah.
Like where it goes silent and all you have is the high pitched.
Yeah, it was like, what's that movie, The Rage?
The Fury.
The Fury.
Anytime someone explodes someone else with mind bullets.
I was like, fuck, they're going to speed it up and he's going to pop. And he just kept it slow the whole time. Yeah. I was like, oh, shit.
And there was just blood all over everything. That was cool.
Dude, his long pants.
That weird kid from, that weird kid, or weird guy from Deadwood. The guy who shot Buffalo Bill in Deadwood.
So he long pans across the house with the bloodstained windows. He long pans across Bruce Willis's. Where he turns to shoot the other guys. And then he does the long pan with the second time he shows Joseph Gordon-Levitt getting hit with the gold bar, the first time he and Bruce Willis meet. Mm-hmm. And from the long shot, it looks so fucking stupid that everyone in the audience laughed.
Because
from his viewpoint, it's all intense. And he gets hit, and then like Bruce Willis is up in his face, and he punches him.
Yeah.
And then like from the
the long pants. Look, this dumbass just got hit with a brick.
Looks super spazzy.
It's good. It's good.
And that's totally true of a fight. I'm sure it seems all intense when you're in it, and then if you step outside, it's just like two dorks flailing at each other.
Totally.
Yeah. No. It was. That was a great. That quick little reveal with the appearance of Bruce Willis, and then it cuts back to like the present time. That was just so brilliantly arranged. And I also, in my love of this film, I also have to admit that I really, really, really enjoyed Brick, which
I love Brick.
Ryan Johnson also did. And, this whole like reimagining of a high school drama as like old school noir is kind of preposterous, but he does it in such a cool, stylish way that I couldn't help but just go with it. And I see a sort of same thing with Looper, where it's like, well, you know, it's kind of like maybe not the best explained thing, but you know what? Like, it's so well executed that I'm just like, all right, I'm in. You know, take me for this ride. Let's go for it.
Isn't Squinty McGee in Brick?
I loved Brick. I thought it was great.
Who? Hartnett?
Yeah.
Oh, is he?
Isn't he?
I don't know.
I don't think
Hartnett's
in it.
Is he in it? He might be.
Who else is Squinty McGee besides Josh Hartnett?
There's actually a lot of relatively big name actors in that movie. Megan Good's in it.
She's a huge name.
I'd say she's in every.
What the fuck is that?
She's in like every Stomp the Yard.
Oh, okay. Oh, now I know.
And she's smoking hot.
All of her yards have been stomped.
All of our yards have been stomped.
She in Step Up to the Street Law for.
Someone to the Street Law would be
good. For a quote-unquote indie movie, I'd say there's a lot of people where you're like, oh, yeah, I know who that person is.
All right, so anyway, my only critique is that I feel like it's a little bit of a cop-out where you just sort of, you explain your plot points after the fact because, like, people are trying to figure out what's happening so hard that they don't really question any of the action.
Wait, really? I didn't find it that hard to follow. Especially after Inception, where I was trying to, keep track of three things going on.
Yeah,
once.
It wasn't
this
as bad
was,
as
this
Nolan.
This was basically like, we're playing by Back to the Future rules, right? Where you only have one timeline.
Maybe I was just dumb where I didn't get that it's like was started in the present. So
I was
constantly
it's
like,
back
what
to the
time?
Future rules. Or no, it's Terminator rules, not Back to the Future rules.
No, Terminator rules change the future all the time and it just sort of ends up differently but still happens. Back to the Future rules can make you disappear.
But Back to the Future rules are bilateral. Terminator is unilateral.
Now, Terminator does weird things.
Again, this argument that's happening about time travel right now
is awesome. No, it's awesome. I couldn't disagree with you more, Matt.
I will say, Vince, if I had a quibble with Looper, there's the there's that coincidence in the final third where. One of the three toddlers.
Yeah, why the fuck?
That was the biggest hole for sure.
Why did it have to be the strippers?
I gotta say, you can't hate on a movie that has like substantial toddler murder.
I can get down with that.
Substantial Toddler Murder was the name of my metal band.
Where nothing changes, and he realizes he picked the wrong one. Like you realizing that that's what he's realizing is like a double deferred hold.
Yeah.
Totally.
Where he's just like, oh, I'm still here and nothing's happened. I just shot some kid.
Oh, he's like if he kills the kid, does he like fucking teleport back?
Yeah, it's just all good.
Why?
And nothing happened.
Why?
And he's because then if he kills the kid, his wife's still
alive. Just goes
if
back
he
in
kills
bed.
The Rainmaker,
the kid,
then he
belongs. Sent back in time.
Yeah, if he kills the Rainmaker, he never gets sent back in time.
Well, so he, it clicks for him, and he displays it, and it clicks for you.
Yeah, when he leans up against that freeway overpass, he starts crying because he knows that he just killed a young child for no reason.
An innocent kid. There's also I didn't catch it right when I watched it, but so spoilers. So like if you haven't seen the movie, go ahead and fast forward like 2-3 minutes here. So I want to say
go back in time and then fast forward through all of this.
Yeah. There's the whole Piper Perabo, the stripper slash whore. He busts into her apartment. And before he gets zapped by the loser idiot guy, he goes, he gets the memory of Joseph Gordon-Levitt seeing the Rainmaker blow up the guy in like floaty blood, you know, and he's like the Rainmaker. He gets before he even has a chance to shoot the kid or realize where he is. Like he realizes he's in the wrong place because he gets the memory of Joseph Gordon-Levitt seeing the guy's heart fucking explode. And he's like the Rainmaker, and then he gets fucking tased. And I didn't pick up on that right away, but like just the mere fact of that coincidence, I understand the necessity of like of it moving that plot point along. Like the guy who fucks up the entire movie, he needs a chance to like, you know, be a part of the movie and like and do something right.
Yeah.
And so I recognize the necessity for that plot point, but at the same time, like, really in the city of like, you know, X number of millions of people, the kid happened to be born on the same day as like, you know, these two other kids.
Yeah. That was a completely narrative decision it wasn't organic to the plot. It was like it was a extra narrative. Like we need a good way for the bad guy to find Bruce Willis. So
that is literally my only quibble with it. And I don't object to more Piper Perabo screen time. And I certainly don't object to her being topless on screen for an entire scene. That was quality.
I think they should have showed her labs, like her spread labs a little more. Just like just get a camera like right up there, like with her like glistening, just like a little bit of
She could have at least dilled herself, right?
Yeah. I mean,
like what's wrong like with a very tasteful finger bang?
Yeah. A very tasteful label.
Extra like Larry Flint tasteful.
Yeah.
It's stylized, right, Brett?
Yeah. You got to put a sepia tone on it.
All right, someone in my comment section did make this point, which I thought was good. Not that it matters to the movie or that it bothered me at all, but
yeah, it doesn't matter to the C plus.
At the end, where he points the gun and he kills himself, he could have just shot his hand off, and then the future him would drop the gun, and then he could just cap the future him and close his loop right there, which is a good point.
Yeah,
it's a little less dramatic.
That's just one of 200. Plot hole.
Yeah.
Plot hole.
Yeah. Also, one thing I also didn't notice.
Anytime you do the time travel thing, you're opening yourself up for.
But one thing that was very glaring was he had like a New York accent in the present and like a country accent in the future. Anybody else notice that?
No.
I was too busy waiting for it to end.
Let me just say the whole, like, first of all, the shooting the handoff thing. How do we know what prosthetics are like in 2074? You know, like
okay,
maybe
fair.
He has like
true.
Clearly shitty because in 30 years we haven't invented anything
except for time travel. Shut up! God, you are. How does it itch to be so wrong all the time? To just constantly
have
the incorrect opinion? Like, does it burn in the front of your brain where you can't make right thoughts? Why don't you just send your sentences to me and I'll rewrite them so you don't sound like a retardosaurus rex?
Wow, your veins were coming out of your forehead. Just because you like a shitty movie doesn't make you right.
Ben, you're stupid. Anyway, but I just want to point out that like shooting the hand off might not necessarily have changed anything. He would have just had a prosthetic hand shot with the other hand.
Decent point.
The dude falling apart was a little weird because it's like, how do you know that he would have still made it through? Right, like you. I guess that's kind of the funny thing is that they were talking about. Well, it's dangerous because who knows if he makes it all the way
But that scene is so dramatic and crazy, yeah. And like, and your heart in your throat, that like, if you go back and break it down, well, it's like, all right, well, way to go, good job not enjoying the movie for
yeah.
like.
Yeah, yeah. True, true. No, yeah. I just thought
only
it was
in
awesome.
Hindsight do you think
his
about
fucking
that.
Foot fell off. He was like a leper. It was
but
amazing.
Wait, so is that not proof that we don't have prosthetics? Case closed.
Maybe.
Case
Ben.
Closed. Thanks for visiting.
But,
I do declare.
The other thing that I was going to say is. I got derailed and now I forgot.
I wish they would have ended a little more ambiguously. Where they had that good shot of the kid looking over his mom's shoulder, I wish they would have cut the whole movie there, where you're like, oh, fuck, this kid still could kill everyone. Like, they just left it at, like, maybe a mother's love's not enough. But I'm not really an optimist when it comes to fancy time travel movies.
I could have done with, like, some...
Maybe you let Hitler live and yeah, that's at the cost of your own life, yeah. And now shit's really fucked.
Yeah. I could have done with Emily Blunt just getting super naked, and
maybe her and Piper.
Like maybe she's baking a pie on the stove, like she's baking a hot apple pie. But then while she's baking the pie, you know, like she's got like her negligee on, and it starts raining, and she runs out in the rain to get something. But then she comes back, and then she's all wet, and then she smells the pie again. And, you know, there's like this slow tracking shot, like sort of up her crotch. And she just sort of, you know, she starts going slow at first and then a little faster.
So what you're saying, Vince, is that Joe Esterhaas should have directed the movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just getting futuristic.
Yeah, and then she
nips.
Starts having an orgasm, but then she starts spazzing out and just like throwing the pie everywhere like a dolphin.
I actually can't disagree with your opinion here. I also would be down for that.
Yeah, right? And then, you know, she's just like... She's all moaning in British.
I'm glad everyone liked it so much. For anyone that agrees with me, which is I think one other human on the planet, and that person's not real, it sucked. But Matt, we do have a question from the listeners, and this is directed at you.
Oh, boy.
Is Looper like great sex with Mila Kunis or just disgusting sex with Renee Zellweger? That's really the only question I want to ask, and that's from Jared.
I don't – first of all, that's hard for me to evaluate because I've never actually imagined sex with Renee Zellweger.
Well, it's disgusting sex, so just picture right now.
I've also never seen most Katherine Heigl movies, so I feel like there's that whole genre of bad movies and horrible sex that I've never chosen to imagine. And so I would have to go with it's probably like sex with Mila Kunis, as in like something that I'd like to spend an hour and a half doing.
Okay.
Or in Looper's case, 2 hours and 15 minutes.
I think it was just over 2 hours. It felt like about three. But
I will say, as you complain, like it was it felt like a much longer movie than it actually was. Just because there was it takes so long to get to the meat of the movie, and then once you have the whole like, oh hey, Bruce Willis is now in the year 2044, then you get that third act at the farmhouse, and it feels like a longer movie than it is. Final thing on Looper, I'm sorry I forgot about this a couple minutes ago, but I wanted to say there's a certain amount of the movie that I enjoyed that reminds me of Face Off, in that the greatest thing about Face Off is that you have Nicolas Cage and John Travolta overacting to pretend to be the other person.
Right.
And even before, like, as I was watching Looper, there's a scene fairly early on in the movie, like 20, maybe 25 minutes in, when Joseph Gordon-Levitt goes to see Jeff Daniels' character for the first time. And you know, like, I know that Bruce Willis is going to be in the movie. I know that he is the future Joseph Gordon-Levitt. And in that scene with Jeff Daniels, it's very readily apparent that Joseph Gordon-Levitt is doing a Bruce Willis impression, like squinting like him, yeah. And like cocking his head the same way Bruce Willis does. And you know, even though it's like it's a very meta way to appreciate a movie, because like as a, you know, if you're just a regular viewer, you're not supposed to know that Bruce Willis is coming in later to be Joseph Gordon-Levitt, but he's doing very Bruce Willis things in that scene, and there's a certain extra level of enjoyment of like, oh, JGL is doing Bruce Willis, and I dig it.
You know, I felt like the fact that
I left my shoes in the limo. This isn't even my jurisdiction.
I'm so hungover right now.
By the way, I was a huge fan of the Bruce Willis being confused supercut.
Oh yeah,
it was excellent. Just the.
He's doing more faces.
You can see this in Chicago.
I felt like they didn't hang the movie on whether these two guys can do impressions of each other, and that would be like that'd be an easy pitfall for this movie. But I felt like that wasn't the crux of the movie.
I left my shoes in a limo.
I left them in the limo. Merry Christmas to whoever finds him, I guess.
That's not even Bruce Willis.
That was Mark Ruffalo, I think.
Yeah, I think that was Mark Ruffalo. I get my impersonations mixed up.
Remember he had jet lags?
Yeah, right.
Oh, we got some more questions.
It wasn't the
limo,
it was the hotel room, yeah.
Yeah.
You got a lot of girl questions. Are you like super good at girls or something?
You
got
to turn your mic on, dumbass.
Matt, you got a lot of girl questions. Are you like super good at girls or something?
I am married, so the answer is yes, but really no.
All right, well, then there was one. This is from Darren. He said, so I've been married for 10 years, and I have two great kids. My wife is smart, funny, has a great job. I've known her for 20 years and very much respect her and her accomplishments. Problem is, she's getting fat. Not mega fat or anything, just ugh. That really pisses me off. Can I fuck someone else? And he also gave presumed answers, which I liked. So this is what I was going to say. That's, you know, you just got to talk to her about it and keep those communication lines open.
Are you going to read all of ours or should we each read our own?
You should read your own. You read your own. Keep those communication lines open. Sounds like you love her and the relationship shouldn't just be thrown away.
Fuck the next thing you see.
That actually, you'd say that.
Yeah. Takes huge bong load. What?
That's again, like this is and if I can allow myself a plug, every Thursday afternoon, of course, I write the Kissing Susie Colbert .uprocks.com sex and fantasy football mailbag, and this whole you know, my wife / significant other is no longer the fantastic hot piece she was when I first met her. Is surprisingly not unique in human history. And it's one of those things where in a perfect world, yes, you know, you marry a 22-year-old model and she needs to stay skinny and hot in order to stay successful for the short career that she's going to have.
So, yeah, do that.
That's like my recommended route. If you happen to marry a regular human, and the best thing is to have, you know, long term when you get married, when you get together, to have similar goals and be like, okay, so this is what we do to stay fit now. This is what we'd like to do with our you know, livelihoods and health as we move forward. And women, man, like, you can't just be like, oh, my wife's getting a little fat, you know, like, dude, she's had two kids. Is that like that? Tears your body apart and fucking ruins shit. Like, you can't just that's unfair to the woman. Like, I recognize that I'm talking to the broadcast and this is like 98% dudes
pregnant
listening.
Women. What?
Oh, we have a lot of women listeners.
Mostly pregnant.
Yeah, mostly pregnant.
You have like 6 or 7 now, right?
That's right, at least.
But I mean, like, you just can't. You've got to be patient. And you've got to be supportive, and you've got to – it can't just be like, hey, honey, you're kind of blowing out. You got to – no, you actually have to be like, you know, like, depending on the sort of woman that you've married, you either have to be subtle about it and be like, hey, I would like to eat a lot more healthy, you know, like, let's revise our diet. What can we change about what we get at the grocery store every week? And then you've got to, like, because once you pass the age of, like, 32, like, it's 70% diet, 30% how much you work out. Like, the calories and like, bread and beer fucking ruin your world.
All right, here's my take. All right, so she's gotten heavier, right? That's bad.
That's what he says.
That's bad. But what if What if she got that hymenplasty where you can like get where they replace your hymen, the surgery? So all right, so maybe she's 20 pounds overweight, but now she's a virgin.
Fresh hymen.
Right? Doesn't that even things out now?
What do they replace it with? Like a cadaver's palate?
No, it's like a little thin.
Is she gonna have taste buds down there?
It's actually cheesecloth.
Exactly. Yeah, okay. I was gonna say it's that stuff that they wrap around bologna. You know, when they have to keep it together, like the skin. Yeah, bologna casing.
Cat gut. They make that out of cat.
It's just a dental dam, Brett.
That just opens a whole Pandora's box, if you pardon the pun, of problems where it's like
you get all sorts of Pandora's box.
Yeah, you get all sorts of pervs that are like, I want a crib reform hymen. You know, like all that, like all
Who
like all the
that?
Weird
Do
stuff.
Do people say that?
Maybe strange pervs. I don't know. Who want hymens restored?
Is this gonna be a synthetic hymen or conventional? Yeah.
Brendan, when are you opening up the hymen restoration project?
Hymens for humanity.
As soon as the Kickstarter goes live,
we're looking at a hymen spring.
Can I modify my hypotheticals? I mostly agree with who's the dude who sent this in. I assume it's a dude.
Darren.
Todd Mark Darren.
I mostly agree with Todd Mark Darren's guess at what I would say, but here's my modification. Don't just fuck the first thing you see. You have to pick the first thing you see, bring it home, and then fuck her in front of your wife so that way she learns a lesson not to be fat. If you just fuck some chick off in a motel room, your wife's never going to learn that being fat is not okay ever.
Man, you're gonna
I knew Brett's answer was going to be fuck her in front of your wife.
He always says that.
Man, every time.
That's words of wisdom. You gotta take it for what it is.
We got another specific question for you, Ufford, which is from a fellow Marine, which was, how many times have you jerked off in a porta shitter at 29 Palms? If you say you haven't, you are lying. My number is solidly in the double digits.
I'm trying to remember because again, it's important to remember that I'm old. I was in the Marines from 2000 to 2004, so I've been out longer than I was ever in. But I don't think I did it in a porta shitter. And before you call me a liar, it's because most Marines who have to resort to porta shitters in 29 Palms are just visiting there for the training. I happen to be on tanks, and so what I do is I would at a time when the rest of my crew was off the tank, I'd go down to the driver's hole in the in the hole of the tank, which is like
a
pretty
good old-fashioned tank jerk.
You've got like a nice big hatch. Nobody can see inside.
Lock that shit up.
It's very secure.
And if anyone gets close, you fucking blow their brains out.
Exactly. So for 29 Palms jerking, I do it in the tank. That was just a more private means of doing it. I will, however, admit. I will, however, admit to jerking in. In porta shitters in Kuwait late at night. So when I had like 2 months in Kuwait waiting before we went into Iraq in 2003, late at night, sometimes like when everybody was off at dinner, that was also a good time to hit up the porta shitters because you didn't want to be jerking off while somebody was crapping next to you, like because there was like a whole line of porta shitters. So I'd while everybody was off at dinner, I'd like usually get some privacy in the porta shitter take care of business.
Do you have any magazines, or are you just going straight imagination in the porta shitter?
wow. Complicated question, Vince.
It's a long story.
Three-parter.
Later on, when we were in Iraq, some people had sent along some magazines, but for the most part, I was working on... I was working on mostly imagination with a slight assist from the occasional nude picture that I'd been sent, which I appreciated from the person that I was dating at the time.
What's her face? That was good old what's her face.
You know, I'm not gonna,
remember is those goddamn tanks.
Good old Mary Jane Rottencrotch.
Good old Spread Eagle.
Listen, Janie Fedowski was fantastic. You guys should check her out on Facebook. Ask her if you can see the pics. She's really cool about it.
All right. Do you have any other question queued up, or you want me to grab
it? No, go ahead.
Okay. All right. Evening, Frati Hottists. This question is from Matt Uvard. I just returned from Afghanistan working as a contractor for the about 3 years, and I've started talking to this girl that has started hanging out with my group of friends. We hit it off real well, but she has just got out of a long relationship, and while we clearly like each other, she doesn't want to jump into anything just yet. She'd rather get closer to me first. I was thinking of giving it another month, and then if nothing has gone anywhere, just up and head over to Southeast Asia / Australia for a year and backpack like I want to. But since I haven't dated in 4 years, this makes me want to stay and see where it goes. Thoughts?
My thoughts are the first thing that you need to do is fucking book that ticket for Southeast Asia and Australia. First of all, that girl I'm sure she's great. I'm sure it'd be great to date her. But you're only young once. You only travel once. Like, you're only freshly back from overseas and with this surplus of money once. And go seize on that opportunity. Like, book that ticket now and go have that experience, because nothing touches it. Nothing touches, like, being a single young person going out and giving a go of the world and having sex with Thai hookers who shoot ping pong balls out of their pussies. Like, that's I've heard is a great time.
I have a question. Sorry, Matt. You want to get going?
Dude, let me know.
My question is, he says she'd rather get closer to me first. Is that something that he's inferred, or is this something that she has overtly stated to him? I'm not sure if the answer is even relevant, because either way, it's complete and total bullshit.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
But I should also say, like, I sort of enjoy the assumption here that either way,
whether or not she said it or whether or not it's been implied, like, the right thing to do is to give her a stiff arm and like make plans for the other country, because, like, the saddest and most predictable thing about women, and it takes every single man like a solid 8 to 10 years of adulthood out of college or high school to realize this, is that, like, women find few things more attractive than a man who is not interested in them. Yeah. And so, like, if you're like, hey, I'm really into you, and the girl's like, I don't know. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, well, okay, if you're not really interested in me, what I'm going to do is just leave the country. So I'll see you maybe when I get back. And then suddenly, like clockwork, she'll be suddenly more interested in you.
Right.
Yeah,
it is like the antithesis of pussy cologne. If you're like, oh, hey, I was planning on going to Southeast Asia and Australia, but I stayed here for you. She's not going to be like, yeah, oh, my hero.
Well, it doesn't seem like he's that into her.
Right.
Or vice versa.
Right.
But even if, like, fuck it. If she's that into him and he's that into her, then see what happens. But
so I got to apologize to Matt here. I can't even imagine what it's like to be in a foreign desert for that long. But all I know is we had a term during training camp where you would go
butt-chugging?
As one of my friends put it, which was very apt. He said, all you see for 2 fucking weeks is a bunch of other niggas' ass. But, you know, basically,
that was the whitest guy. Was that the whitest guy on the team?
And
that was Trent Stevenson from BYU.
Yeah. And then when you go out to that first party after training camp's over, you're talking to, like, you're hollering at fours because yeah, all you've seen is a bunch of dudes' asses, right? So take that, and I'm sure magnify it by a power of 10, and that's what you get after being overseas for that long. It's like, there's so many do you realize that women comprise half the population of Earth? Like, yeah. Don't... Yeah.
Don't make any relationship decisions until you've been having, like, regular sex for, like, a week.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then your mind is clear.
Yeah, you're, like, back to high school virgin
status. You gotta empty your balls out for, like, a solid month or two before you, like, say, this is a person that I'm interested in having a relationship with.
Well, you're not even thinking right right now.
Yeah, also, my point was more, it doesn't seem like he's into her enough to cancel a sweet-ass trip.
Not to mention... Well, that's true. Also, anytime someone says that they can't be with you and they give some like sort of reasoning like, oh, I just got out of a long relationship or I'm not at that stage. Any sort of condition onto why someone can't be with you translates into I don't like you that much. Like, that's the sad truth of it. Like, if you like someone enough, like you figure it out.
Do you know how many people I've dated who like within like... like between 2 weeks and like 6 weeks have like ended up with someone who they've dated for like 3, 4, 5, 6, 10 years.
Over 100.
Actually, the girl that I was dating while I was in Iraq.
Ping pong Jenny?
It was not Jenny, surprisingly.
Oh, sorry. That's a different one. I made that up out of the blue.
Yeah, it's all right. No, but we broke up like as it turns out, going to war for an extended period of time is not a great thing for a relationship. And so we broke up when not long after I came.
Baby, I'm going to kill so many people.
I know. You think that women would be down for that. Apparently not. Anyway, really stressful, and like we break up not too long after I come back home, and like 2 weeks later, she was dating a coworker of hers that had been a quote unquote friend. And they're now married, and it's like 10 years later. So women bounce back really, really easily. Like, they can get out of a relationship and be like with the person that they'll marry 2 weeks later. And like,
especially if they're attractive.
What I've experienced was not an isolated experience. Like women can get out of a relationship and like depending on how distraught they are, like if they meet the right person, that's it. And guys, and to be fair, guys are the same way, you know, like, so don't fucking cancel this awesome, awesome trip to see cool parts of the world and meet interesting people and fuck exotic women just because like, hey, maybe I think this girl's good. That's stupid. Go fucking see the world.
Yeah.
Agree 100%. That girl is never going to like be like, okay, I'm ready now. Yeah. It's never going to happen.
What else?
Next question. This is more of a movie question for the whole panel. Hey, Frottards. I was wondering if there have been any movies where you didn't like, or that you didn't like, that you think would have been better with a different star or cast. For example, would Zookeeper have been better with Kirk Douglas instead of Paul Blart?
Yes.
Well, yes, but anyway.
You have a boner, and would he be going down a log flume? The only one that
just
always
floating in the penguin tank.
Is just a splinter in me is Maggie Gyllenhaal in The Dark Knight. I love The Dark Knight, but that is one of the worst casting decisions in the history of cinema.
Oh, how about one movie earlier when that same role was played by Katie Holmes to equally horrible degree?
Yes. Yeah, they're both horrible in different ways. Weird.
But at least Katie Holmes is attractive, where Maggie Gyllenhaal looks like a sad turtle.
Yeah. Well, at least Maggie Gyllenhaal is a decent actress, whereas Katie Holmes couldn't act her way out of a wet paper sack. Yeah, like they're both bad in different ways.
She's definitely,
Katie Holmes couldn't act her way out of Scientology.
Yeah. Katie Holmes is definitely not a hard-nosed district attorney that she was supposed to be playing.
Yeah.
And then like Maggie Gyllenhaal seems more believable as a district attorney. And I don't think she's like radically unattractive, but when he says "hello, beautiful," you're like, "Who the fuck is that guy talking to?"
Yeah, we've joked a million times that they should have had
her look behind herself.
Yeah, who are you talking to? Yeah. You're not talking to me.
Like the kid in sixth grade. You're like, "Oh, wait a minute, me."
Crazy.
Oh,
no.
I do sort of feel bad for Maggie Gyllenhaal because I feel like on an absolute scale, she's not unattractive, but I feel like she's very average looking for a Hollywood. You know,
she's doable.
Right. I mean, she's not ugly.
Do you know that Maggie Gyllenhaal has been in, like, Agent Provocateur ads, like the high-end lingerie?
Yeah, she's not Agent Provocateur hot.
No, and here's the thing.
Well, her problem is not her body, also.
She's, like, Brooklyn and lives in my neighborhood, and so I'm like, yeah, Maggie Gyllenhaal, all right, a celebrity lives in our neighborhood. And, like, that makes me want to like her. I enjoyed Secretary. I don't think she's unattractive, but at the same time, like, don't try to...
She ain't a hottie.
...to me as super hot, because I have eyes.
I got a special right. place for her in my heart. Especially yeah. after the Jeff Bridges country music thing, where she's all beat up and white trash.
That was a great movie.
Yeah, right. I liked her the best in that.
I take that back. That was not a great movie. That was a really good performance by Jeff. What's his face?
What movie?
It wasn't Jeff. True Grit.
Yeah,
it wasn't True Grit. It was some
Country Heart or whatever it was called.
Pure Country. Country.
I know it wasn't True Grit.
Country Boner, I think it was called.
DJ just saying Big Lebowski over and over again. Big Lebowski. Big Lebowski.
I'm trying to think of movies. I know I read the script for Bad Teacher before it came out. And then when they put Cameron, and it was a really funny script. Like, it was a really fucking funny script. And then when they put Cameron Diaz in it, like, it's sort of...
She's horrible in that role.
First of all, Cameron Diaz, she sucks at comedy. She's terrible at comedy, and, like, she's, like, 38, and the role was supposed to be for, like, a 23-year-old. And it's like, this doesn't work.
She doesn't look like someone who's... It's time for Cameron Diaz to start playing people's moms, you know?
Or just stop playing.
Or just stop trying so hard.
Start playing with their kids.
I will say, what's the Tom Cruise movie that's coming out where he plays, like...
Jack Reacher.
Jack Reacher. Yeah, that's a like,
he's called Jack Reacher.
Movie coming out.
Is it a comedy?
Yeah, it's a horrible
casting.
The most
pornographic name I've ever heard in my entire life.
Reach around, Jack, coming to claim his due.
Shut up.
Wait, so I saw a preview for Cloud Atlas while at the Looper, and I was really excited for Cloud Atlas because Laramie's all like, hey, Cloud Atlas, and he's got pretty good taste. I don't ever want to see that movie. Fucking Halle Berry and Tom Hanks. I can deal with Tom Hanks, but not across the fucking screen from Halle Berry. Jesus Christ. And when they're in costume?
She was a really bad Storm.
She's really bad pretty much all the time. She's not a very good actress.
I'm excited for Cloud Atlas because I have read Cloud Atlas and it blew my mind. And I want to see the movie just because I enjoy the book so much. I'm curious to see the movie interpretation of it.
So the movie repulsed me. Should I just read the book and be happy?
The book is a disclaimer. I love everything by the author. David Mitchell, I think, is his name. And, like, apparently I can't remember a simple name because I've been drinking all night. But I love everything that he writes, but this is a book that is so it's so weirdly conceived and brilliantly executed, and he flawlessly interweaves not just six different stories, but six different writing styles that, like, he just, you know, makes up future language on his own. And if you can hang through the first 150 pages where you're like, what's going on? This is boring. I don't understand. The last two-thirds of the book, which is like 450 pages, you just fly through, like, so fast. And I would have to say it's probably one of the best two or three books I've ever read.
Not enough futuristic things or alternate reality things bother to take the time to make up their own slang. But God, that is such, like, a beautiful thing. Like, that's my favorite part of the FP. Like, I get an entire like separate enjoyment out of, like, the stupid language that they make up for the whole movie.
None of that fucking,
like,
elven shit. I don't give a fuck about elf language.
Oh no, I don't either. I like when they use, like, dumb slang where it's like, yo, man, I got smiles all humped up my face. Like, there's, I had to act like,
what were you for Halloween? A panic attack?
Yeah, like, the sound mix on the FP is kind of bad, so you actually miss some of the lines.
Oh, yeah.
And there have been a few lines where I had to, like, ask what was in the script.
Well, it helps that
we've
watched
God,
it six times.
It's so much funnier when you actually know what he's supposed to be saying instead of, like, the line gets, like, stepped on or something. But, like, smiles humped all up my face is fucking amazing. Like, yo, them shits is deluxe.
LWE.
Yeah.
So he tries to do, does he do, like, a Canticle for Leibowitz thing where it's like the interwoven story through time?
And your mom's got canicles.
How the book plays out is there's six stories, and the first five stories end like for example, it starts It starts in like the 1700s, and then like there's the story of a guy on a ship in the 1700s coming back from like Australia or whatever, and then like in the middle of the story, in the middle of the sentence, it cuts off and jumps into the 1800s. And this next person is like reading this journal of like the person back in the 1700s, and talks about how the book that he finds is like cut off in the middle, and like there's like some similar themes, but like it's not really clear what the fuck is going on. And then you get the third story that jumps forward to the 1970s, and like there are some more common threads and common themes. And so in all, there's like five stories that like cut off in the middle. And like the fifth story is like in the 20, like the distant, not the not so distant future with like human, the
robots,
humanity.
And he like hovers.
Kind of on the precipice of falling, of like falling off and dying at the edge of humanity.
Yeah.
And sixth story is the one. The sixth story is the one that's told all the way through.
Is that
and
the
once you get once you get through that sixth story, then it goes back to the fifth story and finishes the fifth story, the fourth story, the third story, the second story, and so it's this thing that's layered
but
very carefully.
But she's baking a pie, right?
Yeah, and in the end, everybody has delicious apple pie.
Yeah, it's and then her phone starts vibrating, you know, and then it she gets really hot, you know, because her phone's. Like between the temperature from the pie, which is sort of just making like little beads of sweat start going at the top at her brow, you know, but then she's all wet from the rain. But also her phone is just sort of vibrating and she's getting into it.
What the fuck are you talking about?
She's getting into it. She's just like slowly getting into the vibration, but also like the sweat on her brow and the smell of the pie and just all of it. It comes together just so. And, you know, and then her hand goes under her skirt for a little bit. And you don't know what's going on at first.
You're talking about Emily Blunt and Looper still, aren't you?
Yeah, oh, for sure. Well, you know, I was trying to build a scene for you guys. Anyway. Well, we got to wrap it up.
Yeah.
Me? I'm rambling, but you don't have your mic on, so.
Damn it!
You failed the retard test.
Damn it.
He's been talking the whole time.
Yeah, we turned your mic off this whole time.
We got him off at the end of
that'd
the
be
looper
awesome.
Rant.
Vince chose the very end to tell you.
Yeah.
Those bloops are coming from inside your apartment.
It's like my mind match.
Damn it.
At the very end, you're like, he could see you. It's like, no shit.
All right. Well, let's put this one to bed.
Matt,
Brandon.
Thank you very much.
All right. Everyone, don't forget, the Kickstarter project's still alive. Come to
thanks
Chicago.
Thanks for having me, guys. Yes. It was fun.
Matt, thanks for coming on.
I appreciated you guys having me. Always fun.
Where do you blog?
You can
from whence do you blog, Matt?
You can find my work on SBNation.com. You can find it on YouTube.com/SBNation because I'm a video star nowadays. And also, every Thursday, check Kissing Susie Colbert for the sex and fantasy football mailbag.
He's a vlogger, not a blogger, even though the Spanish people can't tell the difference.
He's a vlogger raptor.
They don't have that phoneme. Anywho.
Vlogger raptor.
It's so fast. So smart.
All right. Well, send your emails to broadcast@gmail.com.
Vlogger raptors.
This is just going downhill so quickly. Yeah. Send your emails to frogcast@gmail.com.
Their Vince, blogging is based on motion.
Vince. What's the Google voice number?
Do people send voicemails?
There's just big footsteps and Cheeto dust.
It doesn't matter. We haven't read a voicemail in fucking weeks.
415.
It doesn't matter. Let's end this.
0030.
Why must we continue this show?
It doesn't matter. All right. Goodbye.
You can't even let it.
All right. Good night and good chins.